You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Well, Elon Musk is now the richest person on the planet.
More than half the satellites in space are owned and controlled by one man.
Well, he's a legitimate super genius. I mean, legitimate.
He says he's always voted for Democrats, but this year it will be different. He'll vote Republican.
There is a reason the U.S. government is so reliant on him.
Elon Musk is a scam artist, and he's done nothing.
Anything he does is fascinating to people.
Welcome to Elon Inc., Bloomberg's weekly podcast about Elon Musk. It's April 2nd, 2024. I'm your host, David Papadopoulos. Bright and early this morning, Tesla released their first quarter delivery and production report, and it was disappointing. So disappointing that Tesla shares sank 7% in a matter of minutes. But if you're an X user and you opened X to follow that news this morning, odds are that you saw a little bit of Tesla news and a whole lot of something else. The site is awash in spammy ads for adult content and actual pornography. What's going on here? Is this part of Musk's vision for free speech? We'll get into all of this X-rated stuff on X, what's happening, and what it means for the one-time global public square. We'll turn to our editor extraordinaire, Rehan Harmansi, and a special guest, John Herman, who covers technology for New York Magazine. To dig into the Tesla numbers first, though, we have Dana Hull, who covers all things Elon Musk for us. Hello, Dana.
Hey, hey.
And we have Max Chafkin here in the studio. Max, senior reporter at Business Week. Max, hello.
Happy Tesla Deliveries Day, David.
Happy Tesla Deliveries Day to you. Although it was not Dana Hull, very happy for Tesla shareholders. The numbers were grim. The company missed Wall Street estimates by a fair amount, delivering something like 380,000, I believe, which was about 60,000 below estimates. And it also represented a decline from deliveries of Teslas a year ago. What happened here?
Yeah, this was very ugly. I mean, there's no two ways about it. This was like a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad start to the year. And yeah, they delivered 387,000 vehicles, which is like an 8.5% drop from the number of cars that they delivered in the first quarter a year ago. And so basically, Tesla has a demand problem. Like, you can blame interest rates or, you know, the company talked about diversions caused by the Red Sea conflict and the arson attack at the Gigafactory in Berlin. But fundamentally, like, it's about demand. Like, Tesla has an aging lineup. And yes, like, the macro environment for buying a big purchase like a car is lousy. But, like, Tesla is running out of excuses. They have an aging lineup and people are sitting on the sidelines. And as Max and I have talked a lot together, Elon Musk's behavior is polarizing. Most people don't like that. And, like, I'm not, you know, we don't have, like, quantifiable data to show how many consumers are not buying Teslas because they don't like the fact that Elon is very political on the platform that he owns. But it's not something that you can brush aside.
And to that point, Max, I mean, it is indeed, as Dana said, something we've been over before. But I think with a result like this, it's becoming more and more acute and louder that it is just an enormous problem having a CEO, for as brilliant as he may be and all the things he may have done for Tesla, whose worldview is so misaligned with that of his customer base.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you spend 18 months embracing like a extremely niche, extremely polarizing, borderline racist ideology, you're going to turn some people off. I mean, like, there's a reason like car companies, like when they advertise cars, tend to embrace pretty like classic tropes. apple pies, American flags, they don't necessarily lead with cat turd and like freaky videos from the border. And that's, of course, what Elon Musk has done. And again, as Dana says, like, we don't know for sure how much of this is Elon's behavior, how much of this is sort of macro environment stuff. And then there's this third factor, which is that EVs are just not setting the world on fire quite like they once did in terms of growth, right? Like a lot of people have adopted electric vehicles. And we should say, like, selling 300 something electric cars in a quarter, that is an achievement in some sense, but it's just not moving in the direction that Elon Musk needs it to be for this company to grow. It's shrinking, in fact.
Hey, Dana, you had actually seen early this morning a tweet that you thought was spot on this topic.
So Ross Gerber, who's like a longtime former Tesla bull, lives in Santa Monica, California guy, tweeted this morning, basically, Tesla can't sell its cars due to Elon's behavior. Let's stop blaming the Houthi rebels or German environmental terrorists or a recession that never came or interest rates. Only one person responsible for this.
You know, and this guy, Ross Gerber, I mean, for years was like the most reliable Tesla bull. He basically would cheer on anything they did with extreme enthusiasm. And I guess it's a credit to his intellectual honesty that he's come, you know, he's basically gone 180 on this. But I think it's also sort of Gerber, like many people, really bought into the EV story, the environmentalist story. He is not on board for the crazy right-wing signaling. And I think there are a lot of Tesla investors like that. And frankly, like a lot of car buyers like that. It's probably the majority of car buyers are just, even if they're conservative, even if they vote Republican, are not super into like Elon's tweeting.
Dana, to that point, is this merely a window into the broader EV market woes? Or is a fair amount of this problem, in addition to those broader woes, a Tesla and Elon problem right now?
Well, you know, the long arc is that like the world is still moving towards electrification. So like that trend is not going away. But the like rapid double digit year over year growth that like investors had become expected to is no longer happening. And Tesla, as the market leader here in the U.S., is going to be like the canary in the coal mine in terms of that. So you've already seen like a lot of other automakers like pull back on their plans. Like people are now talking a lot about hybrids. Tesla only makes EVs, and like to have this kind of slump in sales after a quarter where they did all this stuff, like free supercharging, $1,000 discounts, like, you know, like advertising, like all these executives besides Elon, like talking up the car and doing all of this consumer education. I think they really have to kind of look at their strategy. You know, for so many years, Elon was like, we don't have a demand problem, we have a production problem. Now they actually kind of have to reckon with the fact that they have a demand problem. And they've said very clearly to investors that they're in between two growth waves. So until they get that next wave of growth ready, which is the next car, like, what are they going to do? And I mean, the other thing that I really noticed about this press release was they don't break out sales of the Cybertruck. And I know, David, that you were very excited about the Cybertruck, but they're not even telling us how many Cybertrucks they made, much less delivered.
Which probably means that the number is somewhere between like 20 and 50, I suppose.
Well, the other thing that's super interesting about Tesla's release today is for the first time they talked about energy storage, which is, you know, Tesla sells these big batteries to utility companies like PG&E, and they deployed, you know, over 4,000 megawatt hours of energy storage products in Q1, the highest quarterly deployment yet. So what I predict is that as the car business kind of is stuck in this trough, you're going to see Tesla really start talking about the energy side of their business. And that is where the growth is going to come for the next year or two, because they're not going to really have much growth on the car side.
I will say, you know, this on this question of is it a growth stock without growth? The way it becomes a growth stock is the full self-driving thing. And I think, you know, so much of that, the valuation, the sort of like it's worth 10 times what other car companies are worth based on the number of cars they've sold. The reason for that is because investors and even a lot of analysts have bought the story that Elon Musk has been selling about Tesla as not a car company as much as an AI company, as essentially a Silicon Valley company that only looks like a car company. And I think that's why we saw, you know, Dana made a very prescient comment last week. We were talking about
Good
this
for you,
full self-driving thing. And Dana said, this is a good thing to say if you're about to have a terrible quarter. Because, right, in some sense, if you believe the full self-driving story, which I think, as we've talked about in this podcast, lots of reasons to be skeptical of that story. You know, they've been talking about it for basically a decade and haven't made a ton of, like, you know, verifiable progress. If you believe the story, nonetheless, then these results don't matter that much, because in the future, the robo-taxis are going to come and it's going to change everything. And I think that's why we see, if you look at Elon Musk's Twitter page right now, the pinned tweet, which is like the thing that you first see, is saying that, you know, full self-driving is better than anybody realizes. It's so freaking good. And so I think we're going to see over the next few months, that's going to be the story they go with.
Selling what's to come, what's to come.
In certain ways, it's the only story they have to go with.
I will just say this, Dana, though. There's one group out there in the Tesla investing universe that is thrilled, which is the short sellers, the group that Elon Musk hates, the people who bet against Tesla stock. I saw a report the other day that said they are up billions and billions of dollars this year. So at least someone out there apparently is raking it in.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Okay, so Max and I are now joined in the studio by our very own Rehan Harmansi, senior editor of the podcast. Hello there, Rehan.
Hello.
And we brought in John Herman, who just wrote a piece on X's X-rated problem for New York Magazine. Hey, John.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so Rehan, we're going to start with you. Give us a little bit of the long arc of Twitter and X and pornography.
Oh, man. Well, in a previous life, I was a tech culture reporter at BuzzFeed, actually with John. And this is like 2012. Twitter was only a few years old. And even then, porn was a huge issue. Porn is always an issue. And every time there's an opportunity for users to upload things, people are going to upload sexual content. Twitter has long had a reputation as being maybe, let's say, more open to porn than other social networks, albeit they employed content moderation teams and, you know, did their best to eradicate offensive material. But over time, there's been a lot of funny little mini scandals. Like, people might remember that in 2017, the Senator Ted Cruz liked a bit of sexual content that spawned a lot of jokes. And then in 2018, the actor Dean Norris, known for Breaking Bad, he actually just tweeted the words sex gif. So this has been happening. But it's worth noting that this issue has not been helped by Elon cutting content moderation teams in general at Twitter. And, you know, there's like a lot of really awful and criminal types of pornography that are also on the platform and that make content moderation, you know, a legal necessity.
So the other day, I believe you told me that you have a friend of yours who said, you know, Rehan, actually, I go to X specifically for porn.
Yeah, I was really fascinated by this. I have a friend who only uses X for porn. He made an account simply to look at porn. And when I was like looking up older stories about Twitter and porn, I found some stories from like, I want to say it's like 2017, where like Huffington Post interviewed sex therapists about why people are going on Twitter for porn. So clearly this is a longstanding practice for some people. Mm. And I think that at least the stories I read were suggesting that you can search for porn on X in a way that makes it less obvious you're looking for porn as opposed to going straight to Pornhub or a porn website. So maybe for some people that has appeal. There was a recent number that came out showing that X had experienced a growth in users who are like younger men in their like late teens, early 20s. So maybe I don't know. There's fewer content moderation. Speech is getting freer and freer every day on X, you know. Maybe people are noticing and looking at more porn.
Now, this friend is not Ted Cruz. Okay. So, John, what in general are you seeing in your reporting on the proliferation of pornography on X?
Well, the existence of porn that people are like looking for on purpose is kind of the crucial context here. Like Rayhan was saying, Twitter has been a kind of a porn-friendly site for a long time. It's a good place, you know, it's a great place. It's a good place to find adult content, like mixed in with regular stuff in a way that almost no other social networks are. Tumblr used to be like this, and it presented a whole range of problems for them that they ultimately decided were not really tolerable. And so Twitter has remained sort of open to adult content.
Truly more so than other social media sites.
Much more than, for example, Meta's products. Facebook and Instagram have very strict rules about nudity, whereas on Twitter, before Elon Musk bought it, after Elon Musk bought it, you could enter a variety of terms, some of them pretty benign, into the search bar and find like hardcore pornography, people having sex. On video, just right there in the feed. So it's like, oh, that's always been a pretty remarkable difference between Twitter and X and most of the other mainstream social platforms. Not something you'll see on TikTok, for example.
Right.
And this also brings with it a whole like range of spam challenges because like the adult, you know, online adult entertainment industry, porn, and then the ways that overlaps with sex work, all of that brings with it businesses that are, you know, trying to exploit people from the sort of, you know, periphery of the web where they've been relegated for most of this time. So you get a lot of spammers, you get a lot of scammers, and you get a lot of people who see this open vector, this forum for like posting adult content, promoting adult content, trying to like do what they can to, you know, scrape together some business.
Yeah, your piece really dug into those spammers and some of the spam tactics they use that have gone viral, frankly, for that matter, on X. What more or less is the model and how does it work, this model that seeks to tap into the fact that just generally speaking, there's a lot of nudity and porn on X?
So the thing that went viral on X is this sort of like funny construction that was showing up in the replies to all kinds of posts. It would be a piece of history trivia, a piece of breaking news.
Right.
It would be an argument between two people that had gotten really intense. And then here comes a spammer in big block text, right, spaced out with weird symbols saying pussy in bio or some variation.
And it was not germane to the conversation.
Not at all. I mean, you know, sometimes incidentally it is, and people, you know, that goes viral on its own. But it was so visible that it really became a meme. And this is a meme that is sort of like getting extra traction because of the platform's stance on spam, and in particular because of Elon Musk's like complete fixation on bots and spam. It's like, you know, In the lead up to the purchase, through the purchase, after the purchase, it's just this constant drumbeat of like, we must stop the spammers. The bots are, you know, ruining the site.
You actually opened your piece with those words. If our Twitter bid succeeds, he wrote back in May of 2022, we will defeat the spam bots or die trying.
That doesn't include the third option, which is just like everyone gets kind of riled up and is like confused about what, you know, it's just like this. It's such a funny thing. It's such an undeniably funny like turn in this saga of the, you know, Elon Musk Twitter acquisition, and that it sort of had to go viral, and it sort of stayed viral, helped by the fact that these bots are still around. This started happening early this year. And it has sort of remained pretty visible.
So the PIB bots, as we will refer to them henceforth in this family-friendly show, are still as prevalent as ever.
It sort of varies day to day. Like, they're clearly working really hard to stop them. Some days I won't really see anything. Other days I'll see them constantly. They are, I should say, evolving a little bit. You've got a whole bunch of different funny constructions that they're using. The one that I've seen a lot lately is my crazy boobs in bio, which is like a, you know, completely normal thing that people say.
It's human evolution as we right in front of our eyes.
You get thesaurus versions of that too that are absolutely delightful. Right. But anyway, it's very, very visible. And what it is a pretty basic like scale-based spam tactic. What was remarkable about this is that it exists to promote very old-fashioned, extremely unsavory flirt sites, dating sites, where users are funneled through a whole bunch of pages. They sort of become like disoriented and lost. And then they get somewhere. that says they're, you know, hot single local people who want to chat with you and maybe meet up. You enter your credit card. You end up chatting with an operator who lives in a different country. That operator may be getting a cut of what you're paying this company. They might not be getting a cut, and they might be under some terrible labor arrangement, or they might be, you know, scraping your personal information for things they can use to then scam you via text message or Telegram. They might be asking for nudes from you. So it's a pretty dark path that you can follow if you actually click through these links.
Which
but
you
also,
did. God bless you. You did it for all of us, so we don't have to.
Yeah, and you know, I'm getting married in 2 months.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
So, Max, is this just a case of Elon Musk, the true libertarian, just saying, heck, let's just give the people what they want? They want sex and nudity, they can knock themselves out.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say, based on like Elon's tweets and like his fondness for risque memes, that this is a man who's not totally averse to, you know, online pornography. And so and also he's, of course, a libertarian and somebody who I think genuinely like thinks this stuff should probably be okay. But that, of course, is at odds with the fact that trying to run a large media company with major advertisers, which is what ostensibly he's trying to do, you cannot have a lot of porn. And there's a reason why, you know, pharmaceutical companies don't really want to sell their, you know, heart disease medication.
What about Viagra?
Against porn. Even Viagra does not want that. Nobody wants it if you're like a big advertiser. Disney does not want to sell Disney Plus subscriptions against hardcore pornography, against PIB or whatever. And lots of companies wrestle with this. There's a reason OnlyFans, which, you know, hosts, is basically an adult content business. There's a reason why when they talk about what they do, they don't say, yeah, we're a great place to find adult content. They talk about the cooking shows and the, you know, and other stuff. Like, advertisers don't like this. And, you know, this is just like a way in which Elon Musk's worldview is at odds with the realities of the media business. I think there's also an extent to which, as John's saying, you know, he talked about getting rid of these spam bots, but clearly it's gone the other way. And it's not just it's not just the porn stuff, right? The dynamics around these PIB accounts are very, very similar to crypto scammers. Like, you'll often see somebody post something about their, you know, their late, you know, uncle dying or something, and you have a PIB, and then you have someone being like, check out Pepe Coin. It's pumping right now, you know?
And if you get the AI, you know, the AI spam, then you've got the trifecta. It's something to celebrate.
Yeah, but also, you guys, like, I think part of this is that, like, X is completely unable to moderate itself. Like, who could forget when there was deepfake porn of Taylor Swift, like, the god of America? Like, Twitter just simply deleted the ability to search for the words Taylor Swift. Like, they couldn't moderate.
Well, they
porn.
Sort of panicked, and they didn't know what to do. They
but
hit the nuclear
days,
op.
For days, you couldn't search for one of the most popular search terms on a platform.
Well, that's worth emphasizing. Like, this isn't just a funny, you know, meme spam thing that's showing up in a bunch of replies. You can't really search for very much these days without seeing something that you don't want to see.
Well, this is what Rehan keeps alleging.
Yeah. I mean, look, you guys, in meetings, I have made it clear that while I don't follow proactively any sex workers, I see a lot of porn in my feed, and I was looking into it this morning, and there were a lot of people commenting on Reddit and other places who are like, suggested tweets now include spam. Like,
yeah,
the For
totally.
You follow tab is filled with pornography.
So, John, post the gutting of X's content moderation team, how reportable is this stuff, and how easy or difficult is it to get it filtered out?
A lot of the same basic mechanisms are in place. You flag content, it gets reviewed. Mostly that's not how the spam is getting dealt with. This is getting dealt with sort of invisibly with a lot of like behind the scenes algorithmic identification and then a bunch of contractors, fewer now, who are, you know, basically looking at the outputs from these, you know, algorithms and saying, okay, this is actually spam. We should identify this and get rid of this. So they're doing, you know, they're doing the same stuff that every other platform is doing. It just seems that they're doing it not as effectively, and arguably they're facing a challenge that is a little bit more complicated than some of the other platforms just because of what Twitter is. Mm-hmm. It has a really like thorough connection to the outside web that a lot of other platforms don't. Instagram isn't all about links. And so you don't have this constant interface with like a world where anything could be happening. Just on the issue of OnlyFans alone, that creates a huge problem because, you know, you have a lot of OnlyFans scammers who are, you know, running these agencies with operators and chatbots and all this stuff. But as far as Twitter can tell, the link to the OnlyFans profile is legitimate. You know, the user then follows it and then they're sort of in a world of scams. And so I do think that X deserves a little bit of recognition for the scale of the challenge.
One thing that's kind of funny and almost redeeming about this story is that the PIB thing has now become a meme. I think your story had this tweet, but it was like Merriam-Webster's dictionary did a tweet that it was like words in bio. Yeah. You know, it's become like it just like Twitter swallowed like is a culture unto itself and in some ways has been able to absorb this kind of scammy sad phenomenon and turn it into its own thing in a way that's redeeming almost.
When XAI announced that they were you know revealing a lot of details about how Grok works and how the underlying model works, they posted a PIB meme. They said weights in bio on from the official Grok account. Like this is they're
leaning into it.
It's like they have no choice.
Well, I do think part of the issue here is that like fewer people are using Twitter right now, notwithstanding, you know, those who are going there for porn. And then you have the porn scammers who are riding on top of that. But all of this is kind of a problem when your numbers are going down generally, because then it gets hard to like, you don't really want to delete those accounts. You kind of want to keep the numbers moving in the right direction.
Correct. So is there a school of thought inside of X that says, hey, when given lemons, let's make lemonade, let's lean into as part of our new business model, pushing adult content on X?
Well, there were stories last week, though, that X was going to be testing some kind of adult content feature. I mean, it has rolled out over the past year or so various like paid mechanisms, including like I think something about like paid video. Although if X really wanted to make money off of all the porn on its site, there's like a lot of reasons why that would be difficult, right?
They tried before the acquisition to develop a competitive set of features for OnlyFans. They were talking about kind of like a Patreon style, but clearly influenced by OnlyFans fan follower model. That fell apart. I remember it was, I believe, The Verge that reported on this, in part because of concerns about CSAM and you know, illegal pornography and non-consensual content. And this was something that they figured out pretty quickly with a like quick red teaming of the feature. They were like, oh, this is going to be really, really hard. They probably were also aware that OnlyFans has a lot of trouble with this. But yeah, now, fast forward a little bit, those features were mostly built. OnlyFans spam, along with the PIB spam, is absolutely overwhelming the platform. So they've got this big opportunity they see that it feels a little bit out of reach. They've got that competitor in OnlyFans that is kind of abusing their platform, albeit indirectly through third parties. And, you know, probably getting a lot of benefit out of what X is doing. It's got to be kind of frustrating.
Right, because, yeah, as you said, it's simultaneously overwhelming the site and driving away advertisers who would otherwise be there. But at the same time, they can't monetize it in a way.
I mean, the winners really are my friends.
Right, exactly.
My good friends who are now able to see more free porn that X cannot control at all. And like,
I think it was a big tell in hindsight when he changed the name of the company to X. We just hadn't quite properly appreciated it. So, John, indeed, when you drilled all the way down and you clicked through and, you know, you got the PIB spam and you followed it all the way to its logical conclusion, you found that I think it took you to a link called Provocative Neighbors, which in turn is run by a Dutch company.
Yeah, this is like normally you can't figure out who's running these kinds of sites. You know, it's pretty well concealed through anonymous domain registrars and all this stuff. One of the sites that you end up at was, you know, pretty candid about what they do and who runs them. And it was a small operation called Meteor Interactive, run out of the Netherlands, that on their website claims to offer payment solutions for, you know, a variety of things, but mostly adult sites. And it appears as though they're running a network of these flirt sites or dating sites that rope people into these arrangements where you're chatting with fake personas. This is all explained in the terms of service on their website. I tried to pull some records on them. They're, as of a few years ago, relatively small, a few hundred thousand euros in revenue per year. They are obviously one of many, but they are emblematic of the type of operation that the PIB spam exists to support. And so the fact that that is popping up on X, like that one of the world's most powerful and one of the wealthiest people has declared war on spam on his platform and is now being thwarted by like totally third rate porn.
I mean, do we think that, is Elon Musk giving up his war on spam, you know, now that like Grok is tweeting out these memes and like, well, you know,
really clear how committed he was to the war on spam. He did, as Kurt Wagner brought up several weeks ago, he was frustrated, I guess, from the spam replies he was personally getting. But, you know, a lot of that war on spam, you know, if you remember back, was about trying to wiggle his way out of the Twitter deal, right? Like he sort of cooked up the war on spam in part, at least, because he realized that Twitter was not worth as much as he wanted to pay.
It's not worth $44 billion, Mac?
It's definitely not worth $44 billion if a big part of the business is the business that John's talking about. If you're in, like, the porn business, you're basically cut off from a big part of the normal, like, financial
economy.
You become,
like, a pariah state of sorts.
And again, totally, you know, it is not compatible with running a mass media company. It is not compatible with running like a public company on a major exchange. I mean, with a very small handful of exceptions.
So, John, when we have you back in a year's time to report about whatever the new PIB is at the time, is X going to be more awash in porn, or will they have figured finally the bots problem out?
I think one way to make a guess about that is to look at what's going on with like the blue checks and verification, because to some extent I do think that current X leadership has kind of given up on conventional like spam countermeasures. They're still doing a lot of it. They have to, otherwise the platform just wouldn't work. But all of Elon Musk's big ideas about this are like, what if we charged people? Like, what if we emphasized our verified users that pay over everyone else? And then what if beyond that we experimented with charging people a dollar just to post anything at all? It's a really like sort of pay to speak model that does have like, you know, real promise for ending spam in a narrow sense if it just makes speech more expensive. But also blue check replies, the things that Elon is seeing now every day as he posts, are kind of full of spam. It's just like, it's a spam on a different part of the spectrum. It's a little more expensive to produce. A lot of the bots that you see there are clearly using like new large language models to produce convincing replies to posts. The scams are a little more opaque. Some of them are, you know, are in startup mode, not totally monetized yet. Some of them are just monetizing through the revenue share platform on X. Like, spam is this impossible problem that plagues every public venue and a lot of private venues on the web. And I think Elon is still in this phase of thinking like there might be a sort of magic bullet. There might be this big innovative idea that no one else has tried. And I think in a year, you know, he will be, whatever X looks like, he will remain quite vexed by this.
I mean, there's like this old chestnut that pornography is always at the edge of innovation. Like, that was true in like times where like, you know, filmmaking and video recording became popular. That was true in the early internet days. Like, I think that spam always finds a way, but also like sex always finds a way, you know? And so like brute forcing these memes is one way. I think AI obviously is going to present more and more opportunities. Yeah.
Wait, are you saying, Rehan, that this is the leading edge? That
it always was the bleeding edge.
We're going to follow.
It was always the bleeding edge.
No, that like, you know, this you know, huge amount of porn on X is only the beginning for a new wave of general content on X.
Well,
maybe as the rest of
us catch up
with the PIB.
I'm saying that the X user base is, you know, their growing demographic is young men. I'm saying that AI is flooding the market, and whatever tools exist to defeat it, I think are only matched by tools that will circumvent.
For our PIB, for what it's worth, will be pod in bio, right?
That there is you go. PIB.
All right. John, thank you very much for joining us. This was great.
Anytime.
Mac?
Great to be here.
Rehan?
Thanks.
This episode was produced by Stacey Wong. Naomi Shaben and Rehan Harmansi are our senior editors. The idea for this show also came from Rehan. Blake Maples handles engineering, and we get special editing assistance from Jeff Grocott. Our supervising producer is Magnus Henriksen. The Elon Inc. theme is written and performed by Taka Yasuzawa and Alex Sugiura. Brendan Francis Noonan is our executive producer, and Sage Bauman is the head of Bloomberg Podcasts. I'm David Papadopoulos. If you have a minute, rate and review our show. It'll help other listeners find us. See you next week.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.